WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts, and we've got a bunch of them today. If you've heard any of the sound bites from President George W. Roach clip in Europe, you'll know that there's cause for what the dignified English would call alarum. What did he say? It's preposterous that we would be attacking Iran. Of course, all options are still on the table. And if you listen closely, you could hear the heads of the civilized world in Europe laughing at this giggling psychopath making jokes about death. You know, you can take it one way or the other. On the one hand, it's he was just joking. This is a guy who jokes about death. And you do remember the White House Correspondents' Dinner, don't you? Sure you do, when he showed the slideshow of him crawling under the coffee table. No weapons of mass destruction here. Oh, wow, that's good. So it's perfectly in line. Maybe he was joking. But somehow or another, joking about World War III doesn't sit well with me. I don't know about you. And, you know, a couple more goodbyes to the good doctor, Hunter S. Thompson. You know, it just goes to show you how stinking ignorant that fool Wiener is, the way he spoke about it. I heard a little bit of it on my way home last night until I got out of range. Heard him making jokes about naming a sewer after Allen Ginsberg. And you see, he can say things like that on the air because the savage nation, as it were, doesn't realize that there are postcards in the Allen Ginsberg collection that the savage Wiener mailed to him telling him he wanted to take pictures up said Mr. Ginsberg's hindquarters with a camera. And the savage nation doesn't know that Mr. Wiener once frolicked naked in hot tubs with said poet Ginsberg. So he can say things like that. Ugh. But a couple of good editorials today. One by Ed Quillen that came from the Denver Post called To Write Like Hunter S. And he compares Hunter Thompson and Ambrose Bierce. And that's a valid comparison. When in December 1913, Bierce rode a horse into Mexico, which was then suffering from a civil war. If you really want to get a good laugh, go anywhere on just Google it up. You'll find it. Ambrose Bierce, B-I-E-R-C-E, and Devil's Dictionary. You know, and you think I'm tough on the religious crowd? This is stuff from the 1890s, the early, 100 years ago, the beginnings of the 20th century. Ambrose Bierce was hell on wheels. But in December 1913, Ed Quillen writes, Bierce rode a horse into Mexico, which was then suffering from a civil war. He'd earlier written to a friend, "If you hear of my being stood up against a Mexican stone wall and shot to rags, please know that I think that a pretty good way to depart this life. It beats old age, disease, or falling down the cellar stairs. To be a gringo in Mexico, that is euthanasia." And he disappeared and was never heard from again. Inspired a wonderful novel by Carlos Fuentes called Gringo Viejo. And a not bad movie with, I believe, Gregory Peck called Old Gringo and Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda!
But in saying goodbye to Hunter Thompson, Mr. Quillen writes, lifts a quote from, "Learned to be able to write like Thompson or Bierce," and he quotes Thompson from 1973 in the 19. What a fantastic monument to the better instincts of the human race this country might have been if we could have kept it out of the hands of greedy little hustlers like Richard Nixon. All you have to do, you look at the 8 years of rock-solid growth and peace and prosperity under Bill Clinton, and then you see what's been done to this country by the man that some of you put into office. And you only have to change two words, and it's still true. What a fantastic monument to the better instincts of the human race this country might have been if we could have kept it out of the hands of greedy little hustlers. And of course, you don't know what Hunter Thompson knew before he decided to end his life, but you just pray that he knew that George Bush had been outed as an inveterate dope-smoking fiend. You just pray that he knew that. And maybe that's why he decided to check out. You know, his job was done. As he might have said, the hogs were in the tunnel. So that and another article from commondreams.org. The doctor is dead and free speech. He writes, talking about the outing of Valerie Plame and talking about Jimmy Jeff Ganny Guck. When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Conservative, Friday night in Washington, the Conservative Political Action Conference honored the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth for their success in slurring John Kerry's military record. By the way, the Swifties are coming back. This time, they're attacking AARP for opposing the piratization of Social Security. That's right, those classy guys from the Swifties have a few million laying around to slander old people with. Yeah, what? You're surprised? Yeah, they're coming back. Quotes Mr. Thompson. Mr. Big Darkness soon come, take my word for it. And for those of you who are curious, you can go online and you can find the story of the snubbing of Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles. It's there. It's very real. The Mirror, M-I-R-R-O-R, themirror.co, not .com, .co, themirror.co. .uk, and you'll go straight to it. It's no problem to find at all. So there's all kinds of stuff all over. What was the old neck deep in the hoopla? That's it. We're neck deep in the hoopla, and we'll go to the phones 252-6200, or outside the local dialing area 800-620-9967. You'll be using that if you're listening on the internet at wwnrnewstalk620.com. We'll do all of that when we come back after these messages. I'm Bob Kincaid.
If you want to go shopping for the same old stuff, go to Walmart. But if you're looking for antiques, crafts, and collectibles, there's only one place to go. Beaver Creek, loaded with fascinating items. And you won't believe the finds. Come see the Amish Pantry. Discover the excitement of shopping again at Beaver Creek Antiques, Craft, and Collectibles Mall. Exit 125 Airport Road off I-64. Also, affordable vendor booth space available. Call 254-9835. 254-9835. It's a shopping experience like no other. Beaver Creek Antique, Craft, and Collectibles Mall.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but
what?
But your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
I love you both, and this will be your H-E-double-L for me. Oh, I wish that we could stop this D-I-B-O-R-C-E.
Welcome back. 17 minutes after 7 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And straight to the phones and Jim. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening.
How are you?
It's Telepaniki. Got us the telephone. I decided to give myself a new appellation as far as among the ranks of the deities.
Oh, let's see. What did Field say? What a euphonious appellation.
Exactly. And what is that? Have you heard that latest song by Donna Dinette?
No.
L-E-G-A-L-S-E-P-A-R-T-A-L-N. She basically does this, Bob. She, number one, will never travel in an airplane. And her latest hit is called Patsy, Will, and Dag. And they're dedicated to all people who've died in airplane crashes.
Oh, Paul Wellstone should be in there.
Anyway, enough of this foolishness.
Yes.
About Gorgeous George. And I don't mean the
no, that's one. No. From here on out, Jim, that's President Roach Clip.
Whatever. Whatever. Mr. Natural. You know, he is really trying to distance himself in Europe, but, you know, from all the anti-European sentiment that the Congress and his own administration generated during the beginning of the Iraq War. And today, in an MSNBC poll that was released, concerning the opinions of European nations of our self-ordained right to go in and democratize other countries and interfere in their affairs. But you can't hear the stats.
Oh, do please. Now, what would we call this? The divine right of things?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Divine right of things. Divine right, or in case of the Bush White House, the divine right of Miss Thing.
Yeah.
Or Miss Thang, if you want to come over the Appalachians.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. 84% of the French are against our incursions. 78% of the Germans are against the same thing. 66% of the citizens of the United Kingdom, our staunchest ally, are against our actions. And in our own country, 53% of Americans are against it.
Yes.
And, you know, I just feel that Bush and his entourage over there are many, many months late, and a franc, Deutschmark, pound, and a dollar short.
Well, see, there's Jimmy Jeff Guckygan asked that question a few weeks ago at the White House about Democrats being divorced from reality. It's the Republicans who are divorced from reality, because they think, I've come up with a hypothesis, Jim. You know, George hurried right out on November 3rd and said he had him a mandate. We have since found out that he had a meeting that day with Jimmy Jeff Guckygan, and that he doesn't understand what the meaning of mandate is. He thinks it's a meeting with another guy.
A mandate, okay.
Yeah.
Well, in my days, we used to call that an assignation.
Now, see, you're using those words again, Jim.
I know. You know, I'll tell you something. When I hear some of the people call you at night, and I'm not trying to put anybody down, God knows I'm not. I don't know how you deal with some of them, because there's one guy who calls, and it's just like, you know, somebody who brings a knife to a gunfight, and you just basically just lay the guy out. I'd get tired of it if I were this person. I would just be tired of it.
Well,
Instead of bothering you at night, I would go home and start reading some history books.
Well, how do I cope with it, Jim? It's easy. It's a three-syllable word: tequila. In all honesty, you know, I welcome the conversation, and if I can share some information, great. I'm sure you've read The Guns of August. Barbara Tuchman.
It's an excellent book. You should read her also one she did called The Proud Tower.
Read that, and also read Mirror Darkly.
Right.
About medieval civilization. She was a genius.
She was one of President Kennedy's favorite authors. Guns of August came out, I think, in, what, 1960?
I believe so.
And Kennedy's, it was listed as one of his favorite books.
And what, you know, what a tremendous perspective, Jim, because if you consider the numbers that you just gave me, 84% in France, 70-some-odd percent in Germany, 68% in Britain, guess what these countries all have in common?
War.
Yeah, and not just war. They have been on, you know, they have been on the front end sails of a world war.
Well, you were talking about Flanders Field last night and how these things that started in the Balkans ended up in Flanders Field and in the fields of France and in the Somme and places like that, and in Chateau Thierry and all these other names that are
Mademoiselle from Armentier. Yeah, sure.
But I mean, you know, Bismarck himself said that it would be some damn foolish thing in the Balkans that was started. And he was right.
Well, just about nothing happens in the Balkans except damn foolish things. You know, I mean, really.
You know, he also said that, and he told the Kaiser, this is before he was dismissed by the Kaiser, he said, look, he said, don't get yourself involved with these turbulent people. They're simply, you know, half of them are Jews, christened by the wrong name. And he said they're not worth the bones of one Pomeranian grenadier.
Exactly. And see, most people don't understand how that whole thing fell into place. After, you know, what was the guy's name? Gavrilo Princips?
The 19-year-old kid who happened to be in the right spot at the wrong time.
Yeah, so he bumps off Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
And his wife.
Right, and which means Austria-Hungary has to come down on the Serbs, right?
Well, they did because they were mobilized. They were allied with Austria, the Austro-Hungarian Empire,
and so when
they
that
wanted to punish Serbia, definitely.
Yeah. So when that goes down, Tsar Nicholas
has to
come down
the general mobilization
on behalf of the Serbs, which then means the Germans have to come in, which means the French have to come in, which means the English have to come in. Welcome to World War.
They were all tied together by these secret alliances, and you know this thing went back, for example, between Russia and Austria a long, long time. But back in 1905, the Austrian foreign minister, Ehrenthal, had made a fool out of the Russian foreign minister, Izvolsky, and he was going to give Russia domination of the strait, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he basically gave Russia nothing and took everything for himself. And, you know, when that war finally broke out in 1914, the Russian foreign minister was just screaming, c'est ma guerre, it's my war. At last it's happened. And, you know, I watched Nicholas and Alexandra last night, and, you know, I watched Sir Laurence Olivier playing the part of Count Vidic. He said, for God's sake, sir, all you have to do is go home to your family. Don't start this war, because you will unleash upon the world just Pandora's
box. Is there a lesson there, Jim? In large part, by entering on the side of the Serbs, Russia did help go a long way towards starting World War One.
They did, because they had it was their mobilization plan.
And when you go out and you start a world war,
they had to mobilize on two fronts. They just couldn't mobilize on the southern part of their flank. They had to mobilize against the Kaiser.
Right, but when
the Kaiser, of course, had to protect East Prussia, the homeland of the German Junker. So
right.
There it went.
I noticed there was some dignitary in Brussels yesterday whose last name is still Junker. But at any rate, when you start a world war, you wind up in the long run paying a terrible price. You know, Nicholas paid with his life. He paid with the October Revolution. Hitler started World War II and paid with the wholesale destruction of Germany.
Not to mention 50 million people.
Yeah. Where does that place us in starting this war in Iraq?
I don't know, but, you know, World War One seems to have been the father of all of it because, you know, the treaty that ended that war was, of course, providing the breeding ground for Adolf Hitler and his people. And when the Depression came, that's when the Weimar Republic in Germany collapsed and the $1 was equal to 4 trillion German marks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in other words, the whole fabric and social structure, as well as the political structure of Europe, fell apart. And one war within 25 years led to the next war. And, you know, it seems as though we've pretty much, Bob, as we've entered the 21st century, are finding Europe almost with almost the same linear configurations as far as the math is concerned that it was back in 1900. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have. And of course, we entered the 21st century with the United States in almost the same configuration as it was in 1860.
I mean, as far as the division between the
reds and the blues, or the slaves and the free states, yeah, it's almost identical.
It is indeed.
And what scares the life out of me is it would appear that we are setting the beginning of the 20th century on top of the 21st as some sort of horrific template for murder. I mean, I don't know how to, and you heard it too, I'm sure, Jim. I don't know how to take President Bong Hit's remarks.
Leave all options on the table.
Yeah, but before he said that, he said, well, you know, it's just crazy that we'd attack Iran. But then we leave all options on the table. And I heard the crowd laughing.
My mother called me today about that. She is 85 years old, very much in control of herself. She says, what does that idiot mean? And I said, Mom, what would you say to somebody who told you that? She said, what do you think I'd say? She said, that man's obviously crazy.
Well, they laughed.
And because, how are these school European diplomats, and, you know, we have no tradition of real diplomatic service in this country the way they do, or used to. I mean, how are they supposed to react to some kind of language like that?
I don't know. I mean, I got a story here. I'm going to get to it coming out of the break, which we've got to take. But, assume for a moment that he was joking. He, like I said, he's joking about mass murder.
Let me tell you something, Bob, real quick. On April 23rd, or thereabout, Roosevelt cabled Hitler and asked him, said, you go attack Poland, this is April 23rd, 1939, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I need to know. What are your plans? And, of course, Hitler made this speech on that date. It was his finest speech ever. I mean, from that point forward, he would have to make his way in history as a warrior, not an orator. But in this speech, it was so sarcastic, and it made Roosevelt look like a fool. And he named 60 countries. But he slyly left out Poland. He did. And, you know, and he would simply, before the Reichstag, it was broadcast worldwide, he would repeat Roosevelt's question, and then he would say, Antwort, answer, give his answer. And he said, Mr. Roosevelt, I will not attack the following countries. And he listed them all alphabetically, but he slyly left out Poland. And at least he was honest about what he was going to do.
Yeah, but, listen.
I mean, you know, he was.
There's not a lot of difference, Jim, between that and the modern. What's the difference between leaving out Poland and saying all options remain upon the table?
None. That's the reason I brought it up, buddy. That's exactly what I'm about. My point is, really. And these people who believe this man and anything he says, you know, I'm sorry. I wish I could believe him. And I wish, you know, rainwater sometimes was beer. But it's not. And I just simply can't believe anything this man says, and he has no credibility with me. You know, I wish it were different. God knows I do.
And although we do have to take the break, if you get a chance, Jim, go and check out themirror.co.uk.
Is that the London Daily Mirror?
It's the Sunday Mirror.
Okay.
And the story's right there. I've got it in front of me.
Right out of Fleet Street, right?
Yep.
All right, well, listen, if I may, I'd like to listen to what else.
Go right.
I would like to see how I'm going to be attacked tonight.
All right, sounds good, Jim. Thanks. Okay, break time, little news update from Carl Mack, and then our evening installment from the Workers Independent News Service. And by the way, a reminder, no show tomorrow night. It'll be a rerun of some sort. Sorry, these things happen. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good
evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis said today that this winter has been one of the worst on record for fire fatalities. He said officers are in the field today attempting to determine the cause of four fatal fires just this weekend alone. Lewis also said a lot of these fires recently were intentionally set, some to cover up murder.
Out of the 28 fatalities we've had, we've already ruled that seven of these are arson fires, meaning they've used fire as a murder weapon. So we have homicide cases with arson. This is another number that's alarming not only the fire service, but the law enforcement realm also, with the number of murders that we're having with these fires, and we've got to get a handle on it.
State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis, last year, West Virginia had 47 fire fatalities. In just the first 2 months of this year, the state has already seen 31 fire deaths. What was set to be a public hearing between backers and opponents of a controversial housing development along the New River Gorge will have to wait. Land Resource Companies of Atlanta wants to build a 2,200-home development along a 10-mile stretch of the gorge between Thurman and Caymore. It was scheduled to meet with the Fayette County Planning Commission this afternoon to seek a zoning change that would allow construction in the area, but this morning the company withdrew its application, saying it would reconfigure it to more precisely reflect the scope and nature of the project. Company officials said they would resubmit the application, but did not say when. And it worked once for Governor Joe Manchin. Now he'll try again. Manchin plans to speak to a joint session of the legislature later this week and give them a PowerPoint presentation on his legislative agenda. The governor used a PowerPoint to speak with members of the House and Senate last month on the first day of the special session. That's the news. Here's the forecast. Tonight, increasing cloudiness after a beautiful afternoon. There is a slight chance of showers later on this evening, and then a chance of snow mixing with the showers late tonight, low 32. For Wednesday, cloudy with a high near 40, and Thursday, a chance of snow in the afternoon with a high near 34. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWMR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. As the AFL-CIO prepares for its winter meeting in a week in Las Vegas, the labor movement is facing the possibility of far-reaching change. Reform of the AFL-CIO is being pushed by the SEIU and several other unions that have weighed in, including the Teamsters and the Communications Workers of America. As the reform proposals swirl, John Wilhelm, president of Unite Here, the Hotel Workers Union, is indicating interest in opposing AFL-CIO President John Sweeney. Sweeney says, though he already has enough solid support lined up to keep his leadership position, with support from public employee unions like AFSCME, as well as the communications workers, the machinists, and many smaller unions. Sweeney will be shoring up his support as he outlines a way forward to grow the labor movement at the upcoming winter meeting in Las Vegas. Wilhelm himself isn't publicly saying yet whether he will run against Sweeney or not. Wilhelm reportedly, though, has the support of the SEIU and Unite Here, and possibly the United Food and Commercial Workers, as well as the UAW.
10 former Chernobyl relief workers have been hospitalized following their participation in a hunger strike. The Chernobyl nuclear reactor had a devastating accident in 1986, and 220 former employees have been on a hunger strike since Friday. They are demanding that they receive the same amount of free medicine that was provided to them before a controversial cash-for-benefits law was implemented in Russia. The reform replaces Soviet-era benefits, which included free medication, public transportation, and subsidies for housing. More than 140 million Russians are affected by the new reforms. In addition to the Chernobyl hunger strike, the reforms led to thousands of veterans, pensioners, students, and victims of the Stalin regime taking to the streets to protest, something rarely seen in the former communist nation. U.S. President George W. Bush is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin this week to encourage the Russian government to, in his words, renew a commitment to democracy and the rule of law.
The United Auto Workers has won an auto parts decertification vote in Buena Vista, Virginia. 222 workers are represented there by the UAW, and an effort to get rid of the union failed, with the UAW winning support from 76% of the workers. The workers first decided to go union in 2003. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Job creation is still lagging behind economic forecasters' expectations, with 146,000 new jobs created in January. The nation's jobless rate dropped a little to 5.2%. Manufacturing, construction, and wholesale trade all lost jobs in January. The largest gains came in education, health services, transportation, and warehousing. Average weekly work hours are lower than at the start of the most recent recession, and January was the 28th straight month where more than one in five unemployed workers had been looking for work for more than 6 months.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 8 o'clock. Head on for a Tuesday night. And a rather nice one, I must admit. It was a beautiful day today. Wasn't freezing cold. In fact, I had too much coat. But better too much than too little, especially when you leave here at night and heaven only knows what the temperatures will do.
Well,
where do you want to go? I mean, we can spend the night on George W. Bong hit. That's no problem. It's kind of easy to do. But I ran across something talking about the PR budget for the Social Security piratization that George Bush wants to hand you. And it sort of got all over me because it turns out the Government Accountability Office, which used to be the Government Accounting Office before the Republican word police got to them, has put out a warning to various and sundry bureaucracies within the federal government saying, quit using taxpayer dollars to scam up fake interest in Bush policies. You know, Armstrong Williams, Jimmy Jeff Gucky Gann, the other couple of paid media shills out there pushing the Medicare prescription drug thing, the Bush defense of marriage, whatever it was. GAO said, quit doing that. And then I ran across this. This is a quote from a news story. The money that paid for both the Ryan Garcia news packages, okay, those are the fake news packages that were sent out by the White House to various and sundry little TV stations roundabout that pretended to be news about Medicare, prescription drugs, that kind of thing. The money that paid for both the Ryan Garcia news packages and the Armstrong Williams contract was siphoned through the same huge public relations firm, Ketchum Communications, which itself filtered the funds through subcontractors. In other words, it's a lot like a racketeer-influenced corrupt organization money laundering scheme. Now listen carefully. A new report by congressional Democrats finds that Ketchum has received $97 million of the administration's total $250 million PR kitty. Now, stop love song. What the hell is the White House doing with a PR budget? Stop, and I realize that there are people out there who will give this blood-sodden, psychopathic, murderous, killer administration a pass on anything. I've said it a million times before, and I stand by my assertion. There are people out there for whom, if you showed them videotape of George Bush drowning kittens, they would swear he was baptizing them. Okay? Those people I don't need an answer from. But from thinking people, and I'm not asking this along political lines. I'm asking this strictly American to American. And by that I mean excluding the weirdos that'll give George a pass for anything. American to American. What the hell is the White House doing with a public relations budget? Let alone a public relations budget of $250 million. See, that didn't come out of campaign funds. That's just like these so-called town hall meetings that President Roachclip's been going to, where he's telling a hand-picked audience of people who aren't... You can't get in there if you're a Democrat. You can't get in there if you oppose even one of President Bong Hit's murderous little policies. You can't get in there. They'll have empty seats before they'll have dissent. And these are paid for with taxpayer monies. The producer of, and he's a wonderful talk show host, the producer of the Ed Schultz Show in Fargo, North Dakota, syndicated nationwide, the producer tried to get into one of these little love fests, one of these little three-card Monty games that George was running around the country. And they said no, and it came straight from the White House, no dissent. Now, these, it's my money, and it's your money. You remember hearing that on the hustings, don't you? It's your money. Right? Right. What in the world is the White House doing with a PR budget of so much as a nickel? What's Congress doing with a PR budget? If the idea is so bad that you have to have it spun and shilled and conned by the public relations industry, you know, Jimmy Jeff Gucky Gann has hired himself a PR firm because he feels like the story of him being a naked gay hooker with hotmilitarystuds.com and militaryescortsm4m.com is just not being given the right spin in America. Apparently, he's not happy with the fact that as a gay hooker with access to the White House, he's being perceived in America as a gay hooker with access to the White House. So he's hired a PR flack. And frankly, I can understand that. I don't know that it's right or wrong. Headline on the C-section of today's ChazGaz, Mental Health Center Hires PR Firm. Okay. You got a story you need to get out, and you can't necessarily just leave it up to some intern that you brought in. There is some legitimacy to it, but the President of the United States of America, the one human being on this sweet blue-green marble hurtling through the universe, who has a bully pulpit as large as the planet itself, and he needs a $250 million a year PR budget? Oh, Hunter Thompson, why'd you have to kill yourself, brother? The hogs are in the tunnel. A $250 million a year PR budget for the president, for the Oval Office, because his ideas are so damned bad that no one in their right mind would sign on to them. That's why so many right-wing fundamentalists voted for him. They're not in their right mind. Heavens to Betsy, Enron needs a PR budget. Bernie Ebers and MCI, recently purchased by, who, Verizon, needs a PR budget. General Electric, the single largest recipient of our taxpayer dollars for purposes of murder and death, they need a PR budget. That's why they went out and bought, you know, NBC. It's one liberal media. W.R. Grace and Company needs a PR budget. They just got charged a couple of weeks ago with deliberately lying about asbestos in Libby, Montana, and killing a substantial portion of the population as a result. They need a PR budget. But the President of the United States needs a PR budget? Convince me. You know, and in trying to convince me, we're going to be up a while, and you might as well break out the Blackberry brandy, because I'm going to take some convincing, and I'm not, and you won't convince me sober. You know, the president burps, and there's a news story that spins around the planet in 16 different analyses by low-rent conservative shills. This guy needs a PR budget? This isn't PR, this is tipping. You know, I was born at night, not last night. President of the United States of America needs a PR budget like a camel needs another hump. I mean, that's giving the president a PR budget's like Jiminy Cricket needing a crutch. I mean, open the newspaper. We've got little old ladies getting knocked off for $23 in their purse and freezing to death. and five-day-old babies freezing to death. But I look there and I find out the White House has a $250 million public relations budget. Divide that by 50. That's $5 million per state. If George Bush's ideas weren't so damn bad that they had to be propped up by a group of professional liars. And just to be fair, I'm sure that Bill Clinton had a PR budget. And Pappy Bush. And Ronnie Reagan. And Jimmy Carter. And again, I'm talking American to American here. I'm talking to people who have to have their books balanced at the end of every month, or the kids don't eat, or the bills don't get paid, who have to watch every penny that comes in, or bad things happen. Explain to me. The normal people, explain to me. Why does the White House need a PR budget? Why does the White House need a PR? Again, when tapes are surfacing of Enron traders literally entering into criminal conspiracies to cheat little old ladies out of their Social Security checks in the form of artificially jacked up energy rates in Southern California, those guys need a PR budget. They need professional liars. The White House is supposed to be, and once upon a time was, remember the line from Camelot? Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot for happy ever aftering that was known as Camelot. The White House used to be literally the bully pulpit of the world. And I suspect it didn't need a PR budget. Public relations. George Bush has a compliant media comprised of people who ask him questions like, how are you going to deal with an opposition that has divorced itself from reality? He doesn't need a PR budget. He's already got it. Oh, what's the old saying? Why buy the cow when you're getting the milk for free? That's what the Johnny on the spot Washington press corps does for him. What Monica did for Bill. What are we doing giving $250 million of our dollars to a guy to use it to go out and have people lie about Social Security, lie about the needs of elderly people? You only need that professional flack, that professional liar, if the deeds you are doing are dirty in the first place. Did you see this one little nugget of the budget to come? And, you know, because it's national doesn't mean it doesn't impact you. It does. This compassionate Christian conservative budget of George W. Dopeheads contains a 50% reduction in housing monies for the disabled and the, I don't even know what the correct phrase is anymore, people who were not born with the gifts that you and I were born with, the challenged, the disabled. 50% cut in the housing budget for them. Now, that's not one of those moments where you say, well, you know, it was $1 million in last year, and this year it's only $1.2 million, but they want Congress, and therefore, no. No, this is a 50% cut in what went down last year. You know, the year before the election when he couldn't afford to do this kind of evil business. The people who are inside the church every time the doors open, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. How do you fit that in with this Christian you voted for and cutting the housing budget for disabled people by 50%? Make it work for me. Again, not the people who give this creep a pass. Real Americans. How do you make this work? It goes on and on and on in this budget. Oh, by the way, I just gotta share this one with you. It's just too good. It's right in. Do you remember before the inaugural orgy when George's people put out the admonition to the little high schoolers in from the marching bands and so forth not to look directly at the president. You remember that? It was real. It didn't. The fact that it didn't get any coverage. Well, you know, what do you want from a press that's busy doing for, you know, George what? Very real. Do not look at the president. Guess what? Guess what? Tomorrow, or maybe, well, with factor in the time zones, it's later today. George Bush is going to visit a place called Mainz. M-A-I-N-Z. Mainz. And he's going to meet with German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder. He lands at 9:45 a.m. at Frankfurt Airport. And between that and his departure in the afternoon, Mainz, a little town in the Rhineland, birthplace... Oh, the irony, God's been busy again. The birthplace of the man who invented the printing press, Herr Gutenberg, is going to become something on the order of a fortress. So, again, you do remember, don't you, the admonition to the little flute tootlers and trumpet trumpeters and sax blasters and drummers and whatnot. Do not look directly at the president. Well, there's no face. That happened at the inaugural. It's happening again in Mainz. There is no threat of terrorism. There is no inkling of terrorism. There is no chatter of terrorism. But they are going to absolutely lock down Mainz, Germany. A red zone. A high-security area centered on Mainz's electoral palace. Word went out to people who do business in that area to shut down. Neither driving nor parking will be allowed in the zone. The garages have been emptied. The mailboxes have been unbolted. And 1,300 manhole covers have been sealed at German taxpayer expense because we elected a lily-livered chicken, yellow-striped coward. The Nescafe plant and the Opel plant have been suspended production. 3 million commuters in the Rhine-Main triangle will be affected. And here's the best part. You know, I said, when we were talking about this before the inaugural orgy, I said, do not look directly at the president. Well, guess what? If you live in Mainz, this time you really do get it with the German accent. In police leaflets, residents have been asked to keep their windows shut and stay clear of balconies to avoid misunderstandings. Because these sort of understandings have a nasty habit of coming with 30 caliber bullets. Later on, Chicken George, my God, what a shame this man is on all of us, and what a shame on all of you who voted for him. Yeah. He's going to end the trip in Slovakia with a meeting with his soulmate, the guy he looked into his soul, Vladimir Putin, Pooty Poot. Tightest security measures in its history. Slovakia, no history of terrorism, and they're going to deploy more than 5,300 policemen and 400 soldiers and 400 firemen and elite anti-chemical forces. But in Mainz in the morning, everything shuts down. And do not look at the President of the United States to avoid misunderstandings. I'm not going to do it. I swear I am not going to do it. Not going to do it. Any caller that wants to phone in and offer up a rousing Sieg Heil for this nasty little pothead we have in the White House. And again, it's not about the pot, it's about the lying about the pot. It's not about the booze, it's about the lying about the booze. That's the rule from Herr Starr, is it not? Any of you want to give him a rousing Sieg Heil, I'm sure you'll be standing in solidarity with some several million residents of the city of Mainz who are going to have their lives disrupted tomorrow because George Bush is scared of his own shadow. Your phone calls, other fun when we get back. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world. At the tone, it's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
News is over. And if you want to jump in and say your say, it's 252-6200 around hereabouts. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. And, you know, I mentioned the PR business. Well, apparently Shelley Moore understands that she's doing a little toe dance on the third rail. And she says that she's doing her own little listening tour. Remember how they criticized Hillary Clinton when she went on a listening tour, and now the Republicans are just all over it? Like I said, these clowns have not had an idea of their own since abolition, and even that one wasn't theirs. She told an audience at the Randolph County Senior Center today that she's listening, but not pushing. The third-term House member is one of dozens of Republican lawmakers methodically gauging constituent sentiment since President Bush's plan became public. Sounds like somebody outed it. And Moore said that setting up these accounts would be a voluntary exercise. Yeah. Some suggestions from Capito's audience included, or Moore's audience, included raising the retirement age and raising payroll taxes. Raising the retirement age will be wrong. However, making all of America pay into Social Security, I still say, is a pretty good idea. I don't know why the wealthiest Americans get away with not. Got to pay Social Security on everything I make. Do too. Why can't we make America's wealthiest people do the same thing? This one kind of threw me. I don't know what's. We talked a little bit about the Rushing River. Land development project in Fayette County. The hearing was supposed to go off at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It didn't. Quietly and stealthily, the people from Land Resource Development, or Land Resource Companies of Atlanta, Georgia, slipped in this morning and withdrew their request. And they say they're going to reconfigure their plan and application to more precisely reflect the scope and nature of the project, and that they will resubmit the application. See what happened? We put a little sunlight, and by we, I mean the various and sundry media outlets. I don't mean me. Carl Mack, Warren Ellison, put some sunlight on this, and as is often the case with vampires, they dried up and blew away until another dark and stormy night, when maybe they can sneak it in without the public noticing. And some interesting reportage in the Charleston paper noting the fact that apparently there are some amount of ancient Native American remains in these areas where, of course, they want to, they believe that God made beautiful lands for the beautiful people. So that's going to have to be taken a look at. And I'll get a note out to some friends of mine who might be interested in, protecting sacred burial sites. Is that just crazy? Somehow it seems like the right thing to do. You know, I don't know about you. Now, I take a broad view of death. I figure once I'm dead, and what happens to my bones doesn't much matter. I don't take that long view of, say, a pharaoh, where I've got to have a chariot and a boat and maybe a microphone to go with me into the afterlife. But that it is still not mine to say that a person who was put to rest when Jesus was a baby 2,000 years ago, it's not for me to say that they don't deserve to stay undisturbed where they are. And it is equally unacceptable to say, oh, you know, put a fence around them for people to climb over and, you know, dude, let's go party on the dead Indians. No, no, it's wrong. So, I don't know whether we call this a small victory today or not. It looks to me like they dissolved in the night in our front, and they're regrouping in the woods to come at us some other way. Because you know what? That deep in their hearts, they really do believe that God created the beautiful places for the beautiful people, and that they have a right to obstruct natural wilderness, to destroy natural wilderness, to build a gated community for the beautiful people. I don't share that vision. You know, as has been noted on this show from time to time, when us white folks first landed on this continent, we brought with us an idea that more than any other idea, more than any other disease, had a profound impact on what would happen on this continent. And that was the idea that you could own the dirt. The idea that a person whose lifespan back then might not have encompassed 50 years could own a chunk of ground. And many of the Native Americans said, what? Are you crazy? And that, and no, not the Ten Commandments. That idea, that ownership idea, forms the basis of most Anglo-American law. Not the Ten Commandments, but that idea that you can own God's creation. And that if you own God's creation, you can do anything with it that you want. You can blow up mountains, you can fill the streams, you can poison the air, poison the water. Because, see, I have in my pocket here, well, this is one of the shortcomings of radio, I suppose, but I have in my pocket here that thing which matters more than God's creation, which matters more than right and wrong, which matters more than the stewardship to which we are commended of the earth. In my hand right here, I have what matters most to these land resource developers. You hear it? I couldn't do that if that wasn't a real Federal Reserve note. This is the object of worship. This is the object of reverence. This is the object of devotion. And I ran into a fellow over in the courthouse, and he said, I'm for this development. I said, well, I'm against it. He said, well, my people have been here for 200 years. I said, mine too. And he said, but we need the jobs. We need the growth. And I looked at him and I said what I said last night on this program. If you had wild growth going on inside your body, what would they call it? He just looked at me and a light went on for him. It was really nice. A light went on for him and he said, cancer. And I said, that's right. Got to think about whether we need this or not. But anybody who worships that will tell you we not only need it, we must have it. We must have 2,200 homes stretching from Thurmond to Caymore. Anybody who worships that will tell you that what other people think doesn't matter, and that this controls everything. And the question I have is, does it? Does it? Does the fact that you have more of these than someone else has, does that make you a better person? Does that make you a more moral person? Now, if you buy into the weirdness of Calvinist ideology, I suppose it does. But if you live your life from day to day and consider moral issues beyond the standpoint of that, you might come to a different conclusion, do you suppose? Who knows? But we might call it a little victory today. It's another day that they're not excavating the top of the gorge. And for that, we're grateful. We've got to take a break, and when we come back, I don't know, I've got a lot of stuff here. Oh, look, the right wing's going after another cartoon. How lovely. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Has been reset and the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find, you've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's auto match helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their fun local events, when Cupid.com helps you seek, true love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Radio for the real majority. Head On.
God made the mountain. God made the sky. God made the people. God knows why. He fixed up the planet as best as he could. Then in come the people. And gum it up good.
The first thing you know,
they civilize the foothills and everywhere he foothills, the mountains and valleys below. They come along and take them and civilize it, make them a place where no civilized person would go.
The first thing you know,
the first thing you know,
they civilize what's pretty by putting up a city where nothing that's pretty can grow. They muddy up the winter and civilize it into a place to uncivilize, even for snow. The first thing you know,
they civilize left, they civilize right, till nothing is left, till nothing is right. They civilize freedom till no one is free, no one except, by coincidence, me.
Yeah.
The first thing you know.
By coincidence, me. Because I'm just that free. You know, they're at some point, everyone says, well, you know, you've got to balance the needs for progress. No, you don't. And I know it may sound a little bit snotty, but the fact of the matter is, the fact that we are, I don't know. I guess I take the long sort of Native American view of things. We're already here. We don't need the gated community gang that Land Resource Companies of Atlanta, Georgia wants to bring to us. We don't need them. Sincerely, we do not need them. Vacation homes, overtaxing our infrastructure. I don't mean taxes that we pay, or that for that matter, the taxes that they won't pay. I'm talking about burdening a system with more than it can bear already. But that's that. That's that. A couple of fun things out there right now. I warned you from the same weirdo gang that brought you Tinky Winky's gay and SpongeBob is gay. Well, now they're after Shrek 2. That's you can open your mic. I just got a what from Taylor over here. Yeah, they're after Shrek 2. Again, there are so many of these things I run across, and I just wish. I really wish it wasn't. I'm still holding out hope that the White House snubbing Camilla thing is a clever plant that the Mirror got suckered on in England. But, you know, they have much more stringent libel laws than we do here. You know, it's said in America that if you say something about someone, even if they don't like it, that the truth is an absolute defense. You know, he said I was ugly. Well, you know, so he sues you, you go into the court, Your Honor, look, he's uglier than a mud fence. And the judge goes, case dismissed, truth is an absolute defense. Well, in England, the truth is not an absolute defense. Their libel laws are much worse than ours. You can tell the truth and still get sued. So when I see in the Mirror... you get it. When I see in the Mirror, the Sunday Mirror of London, that lo and behold, the White House has said thanks but no thanks to Camilla... And this is... I didn't have the whole article last night. The U.S. president, a notoriously right-wing Christian and reformed alcoholic, not, told aides it was inappropriate for him to be playing host to the newlyweds who are both divorcees. The decision was made even though the late president, Ronald Reagan, was divorced. Government insider said, it was relayed to us from Washington that Mrs. Parker Bowles would not be welcome at the White House. The Americans are aware that the visit will be subject to a lot of media attention and did not want the president drawn into what they view to be a public relations exercise. How uncertain if the visit will even go ahead. Insiders point out that hosting a lavish royal dinner for Charles and Camilla would be bad PR. There's those letters again. I want a White House that concerns itself more with DG, doing good, than with PR, public relations, otherwise known as lying. President Bush, because while Princess Diana is still much loved by many Americans, her ex-husband is seen as dull and aloof, and both he and Camilla are widely blamed for a breakup of his marriage. So, until proven otherwise, I'm going with that as being policy. Again, I wish that some of this stuff was fake, but it's not. Shrek 2 is the latest animated film title to be outed by weirdo right-wing Caliban Christian fundamentalists. Though they seem to have ignored Sunday's gay kiss on Desperate Housewives and the coming out of Patty on The Simpsons. Did you know that? Yeah, Patty came out. Patty and Selma, Marge's twin sisters. The fundamentalists are expressing outrage, outrage, outrage over Shrek 2. Why? They're saying, and I quote, Shrek 2 is billed as harmless entertainment but contains subtle sexual messages. You know, what is there? Back mastering on Shrek 2? Is it like playing a Beatles album back? I buried Paul. What? Go kiss somebody. Yeah, what? If you play it backwards? 43,000 member churches have been warned that Shrek 2 is billed as harmless entertainment but contains subtle sexual messages. Louis, you met my faithful handyman. New Shrek 2. With a second disc, including the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Parents who are thinking about taking their children to see Shrek 2 may wish to consider the girl then proceeds to describe one of the characters as, quote, an evil bartender, with the voice of Larry King.
Hey, gang!
Who is a male-to-female transgender in transition and who expresses a sexual desire for Prince... Oh, for God's sake. In another identified scene, Shrek and Donkey need rescuing from a dungeon by Pinocchio and his nose, which is made to extend as an escape bridge by getting... By getting the wooden boy to lie about not wearing women's underwear.
You've said... I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? Open your mic.
That is correct, Bob. I've seen it.
Is that in there?
Yeah, it is, but it's not like what they're making it out to be.
Well, what is it then?
Well, it's kind of as you said, that they asked Pinocchio if he's wearing women's underwear, and he says no. So his nose grows longer, so the little gingerbread man can stand on his nose and save Shrek and Donkey.
Okay,
they're chained up.
So it's sort of they're missing the point again, aren't they? Because
yes.
once again, it's not about. George Bush being a pothead. It's about George Bush lying about being a pothead and a drunk. And here again, it has nothing to do with whether or not this imaginary, animated, not really human thing wears whatever passes in fairy tale land for women's underwear, but the fact that he lied about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Clowns. We are dealing with clowns. What do you think of this? I mean, do they let up? Oh, and this isn't the only one. There's more coming. Oh, there's a lot more fun out there. The Traditional Values Coalition. Whose tradition? Whose values? What coalition?
Report, a gender identity disorder goes mainstream, slams DreamWorks for helping to promote cross-dressing and transgenderism.
I guess we're dealing with a bunch of starched-up, stiff, pasty-faced white old fogies who, ran around in a stunning frock because they saw Milton Berle in a dress 40 years ago.
And then there's Bugs Bunny. Nah, not even going to go there. So, yeah, that's there. Just watch out. You know, we are up to our necks in weirdos.
How sad and sick and repressed are these people?
Do they honestly think that some kid is going to watch Pinocchio's nose grow and associate it with the cross-dressing as opposed to Pinocchio's nose grows when he lies? The things they ask us to put up with.
Most dirty-minded people on the planet. I promise you, Republicans are.
This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On.
Wow. Bob Kincaid.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Mabscott resident got a surprise this morning when she looked out the front yard. Marsha Hatcher found an 18-wheeler jackknife in the yard of her house on Old Eccles Road. Hatcher says the driver told her she was on the wrong road and was trying to run around when she got stuck in the yard. A Mabscott police officer said the Oklahoma Tag Tractor Trailer for Swift Transportation of Phoenix, Arizona, didn't do much damage. A wrecker was called to remove the vehicle, and Hatcher says 18-wheelers are hard to drive, especially on country roads like hers. The legislature has sent the first bills of the 60-day session to Governor Manchin's desk for his signature. One bill would allow West Virginia to sell bonds to pay bonuses to recent veterans. The other aims to encourage high school musicians to sound taps at military funerals. The House passed both bills unanimously on Friday. Senators also passed them by unanimous votes Monday as part of Veterans Visibility Day at the legislature. House has passed a bill that would protect volunteer groups from lawsuits arising from their work on abandoned mine sites. Somers County Delegate Virginia Mann is co-sponsor of that measure, and she says there are over a dozen groups that work on watershed restoration in southern West Virginia, but many have been discouraged out of fear their work would get them sued. Mann says groups like the Upper and Lower Pink Creek Watershed Association would be more free to work under the bill. The measure passed 93-34. And it worked once for Governor Manchin. Now he'll try again. The governor plans to speak to a joint session of the legislature this week and give them a PowerPoint presentation on his legislative agenda. For tonight, cloudy and cold with some rain showers that could become light snow showers. Late in the night, low tonight near 32. And for Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Tomorrow's high near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
If you've ever doubted that the Bushites are extremist nutballs, check out their absurd attempt to twist the language being used to discuss Georgia's assault on Social Security. Following last year's presidential campaign, Bush began touting his plan to create private accounts that would siphon money out of our public pension system and let some workers put this privatized money into the stock market. But Georgia's pollsters and propagandists have learned that the term private stinks as a sales term. The public distrusts any plan that attaches this word to the widely popular retirement program. So, in January, the Bushites' language suddenly shifted from private accounts to a softer, more poll-friendly phrase, personal accounts. Bully for them. But then they began to bully the media, demanding that reporters also adopt the new officially sanctioned government language when discussing Social Security. Republican officials actually began calling journalists to complain if the word private was used in stories. George himself recently snapped at a reporter who used the verboten term, accusing him of editorializing, then curtly correcting him by saying, "You mean the personal accounts." One of Bush's congressional henchmen, Representative Bill Thomas, also joined the Newspeak campaign, chiding a reporter who used the banned phrase. "They're personal accounts, not private accounts," he barked. Then in classic doublespeak, Thomas added, "No one is advocating privatizing Social Security." "Well, excuse me, your language czarness, but that's exactly what you're advocating." The problem for the Bushites is that they can't find an effective term to cloak their privatization intentions. As one pro-Bush pollster admits, people have tried modernization and personalization. They all sink like a rock. This is Jim Hightower saying, no matter what shade of lip gloss they put on their pig of a proposal, they just can't hide the ugliness.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a feature. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 24 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Tuesday night edition of Head On. Oh, goodness me. I just read an email from our friend Ben. I'm toying with whether or not to do it on the air. Just, you know, give you a little idea of how we're thought about it. And not by Ben. No, this is one of those emails, you know, you get around, they float around, that people forward it to you. Came from Democratic Underground. This is the way people think about us. Don it. You know, it starts, we were at our local fine dining establishment when this ragged family of what looked like Appalachian coal miners shuffles in all tattered and blue because of bleep. It doesn't get any better from there. I'm gonna read this a little bit. I really am. Because it is worth remembering that there are people out there forwarding this kind of garbage around. And I am not, it was sent to me as an abject example of the way people think about, you know, us who aren't the rich. And, you know, I've lived it. I've seen what a West Virginia license plate gets you in other confines. Hey, you know, we go south to visit Dad, I get the funny looks for my wild, wonderful plate. I'll never forget starting, you know, never mind. I'll take care of this. Jim is back with us. Hey, Jim, your head on. What's up?
What is this about Pinocchio getting a Hollywood catalog?
Oh, yeah, the Fredericks and Victoria's Secret and God knows what else, I guess.
Louis Sancier, don't forget her. So is he doing a Brad and Janet or what? Or is he just going to see Dr. Frankenfurter with
Riff
Raff and Magenta?
I was told off air that, as it turns out in the film, he's wearing a thong.
Pinocchio?
Yeah.
A thong?
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same reaction. But still, I don't see that as, you know, a reason to go get the people from Pixar or whatever and give them a big cup of hemlock for perverting the youth or, you know, whatever it was they killed Socrates for.
No, I wonder who's dreaming up some of this stuff.
I'm not kidding, Jim. These are some of the dirtiest minded people that have ever walked planet Earth.
You know, I have a theory, and I'd like to share it, if I may. I think it's very simple. Do you think that a whole generation of these morons has been so rigidly toilet trained and it's affected their later adulthood?
Oh, potty trained at gunpoint, without a doubt. And it has. Everything is dirty. I mean, these people make the Victorians, you know, who covered up chair legs, look like raging exhibitionists.
Well, yeah. I understand those Victorians, when they were in buttons, could be pretty wild. I mean, to read D.H. Lawrence and...
Oh, yes, I know.
John Thomas and Lady Jane, my Lord. But, I mean, Lord have mercy, what are they trying to do?
They want, you know, it's all... They're the Taliban. They are. I mean, we've got a guy in prison now, Abu Ali, what's his face?
Yeah.
Because he got a computer in Saudi Arabia, and he's been beaten, he's been whipped, he's been tortured at the behest of the American government, and we're charging him with trying to kill the president. I mean,
so the Saudis have charged his custody, correct?
No. He has finally been returned here because his family raised such a stink about it. This kid was the valedictorian of his high school class,
and he was going to allegedly try to harm President Bush.
That's what they say. You know, he was supposed to get a gun and get close enough to shoot George Bush or maybe blow up a bomb or give him a pretzel or something.
Well, Bob, that just doesn't make sense. Hell, Patton, the Seventh Army couldn't get near him.
No, Democrats can't get near him. You think some young, brown-skinned, Arabic-looking guy is going to get within a city block of George Bush?
I would think not. But I want to ask you a question. Why were these people who marched, these high school band participants, urged or asked not to look directly at the president?
That I do not know. I really don't. It was a news story. It was the instructions that were given to people marching in the inaugural parade. Do not look directly at the president.
Why? Did somebody on the reviewing stand have pediculosis so they didn't want to see him scratching?
Oh, good one, Jim. Good one. I had this flashback to Lewis Gossett, an officer and a gentleman. You eyeballing me, boy? You know, was George going to come out of the reviewing stand after some piccolo player? Don't you eyeball me?
It's our demand, and I realized, well, for example, you were talking what they had to do to that city in Germany.
Yeah, Mainz.
Mainz, right. I mean, I just wouldn't feel real welcome anywhere. And I would begin to examine why.
Well, the man is such a coward, Jim, it's amazing he ever leaves the White House. I mean, you do realize that the meeting he had with the EU leaders, you know, Bertie Ahern, Silvio Berlusconi, and Tony Blair and so forth, you do realize that they were each assigned a separate question and a separate topic to ask George Bush? My hand to God, I'm not kidding.
I'm sure these people really felt nice about that. How insulting to a head of state. Treated like a child in some type of schoolroom situation in which they were being, you know, drilled by someone who has no control over them.
And I think they, and of course, you know, there's whoever they don't like gets to ask the really hard question, or, the, you know, new guy does the hard work. One of the newly admitted EU states, I forget which one it was, got the task of asking George Bush how it was going in Iraq. Freedom's on the march. Next question. This is just what if 1/4 of America knew what was going on in Europe with this little Le Grand Schlepp, there would be rioting in the streets out of this the sheer embarrassment of it all.
Well, my Lord, it's been a while since I've walked in front of the White House, but I can remember when they started putting up these thing called bollards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was when Reagan was in there. And then I'm surprised the whole area around where the compound where he lives doesn't look like something out of the Siegfried Line.
It does now. It does.
Who did they get Rommel to design these things for him? I'm sure he probably had less.
Oh, by the time you look at consider the Jersey barriers and all that stuff, my God, Jim, yeah, it looks like something Rommel designed at Gold Beach or Sword or Omaha or Utah. It's ridiculous.
And to think that Harry Truman could just, you know, get out there and take a walk and, you know, talk to people, stuff like that.
Harry Truman, my God, Bill Clinton, 8 years of that draft dodger Bill Clinton, I tell you what, you know, Jesse Helms saying, well, I tell you what, we love our country down here in North Carolina, and that Bill Clinton better not come down here. I remember when he said it, threatened the life of the president, Jesse Helms did. Bill Clinton better not come down here. Because, but, you know, Bill Clinton had some guts. Bill Clinton would get out of the limousine, tell the Secret Service to take a hike and wade into crowds that loved him. You know, what did Christ say? He who loves his life shall lose it.
There you got it. You know, I have the distinct honor of being passed by Jesse Helms on the 14th Street Bridge. He blew his horn and honked at me, and I flipped him off.
Good.
I am proud to say that I did that. But honestly and truly, I mean, I can't understand this man, if he is so brave and is so such a macho character and walks with that Texas swagger, then why does he feel the need to envelop himself with all of this protection? I mean, I can understand certain security precautions, yes. But, I mean, after a while, it gets to the point that it's just going to be counterproductive, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't want him to come to my town because, God, his whole place has to shut down, as you said.
Well, and you go broke. There are places, and I can't remember where it is exactly, there are places that are still trying to figure out a way to get paid for what it costs them to provide the biggest coward in the world with security when he came there. And I'm talking about within the last 6 months.
Well, I'm sure hoping they're not holding their breath to pay them.
Hey, Jim, the official state visit that was paid to Charleston on the 4th of July last was an official state visit guess what you and I paid for?
That.
Yeah, and wouldn't even have been allowed within 2 miles of the place because we don't approve of what he's doing to America and the world. People were arrested for evincing dissent on during an event that you and I and every other West Virginian paid for.
Yeah, I remember that couple. I sure do. The whole thing is just crazy. I mean, when I hear all the stuff, they're trying to turn perfectly harmless things into something nasty, and then you've got a man going over there saying, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to invade Iran, but I will reserve every option.
Yeah, every option remains on the table. You know,
how can you really...
And people hear that, and of course they give him a pass, Jim, and they don't understand what every option remains on the table means. When he says every option remains on the table, he means, by God, every option, right down to the nukes.
I know.
This administration wants to build new nukes, wants to start a new arms race.
Well, now I heard today that they're going to start building all these permanent bases in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means we're going to have a presence over there. Basically, we're just transferring what we had in Europe during the heights of the Cold War, over to Southwest Asia, and we've got a very unstable Russian Federated Republic and those other Muslim republics over there, and that's just a curious admixture that I'm not real comfortable with.
Welcome to Rome, Jim. Welcome to Imperial Rome. And I'm not talking about the good Rome, you know, with the brothers Gracchi and all that stuff. I'm talking about the Rome where Caligula makes Incitatus his senator, brings a horse into the Senate and makes him a senator. And frankly, it would fit perfectly in this age because most of our senators are no better than stalking horses for the administration.
And these are sad times. They really are. People better wake up and realize what's going on here.
Yeah.
I mean, the Praetorian Guard finally woke up about Caligula, you know?
And several others.
Right.
You really can't. I mean, if you want to read some great gossip, you can't beat an evening spent with Suetonius.
Yeah,
the Lives of the
12
Caesars. Right.
He did have some interesting things to say.
Yes, he did.
I mean, this is just talk about the castes and kings depart, the empire being brought low. Boy, this is really heading fast. I mean, the altimeter must be spinning to the left like crazy.
Oh, it's. You know, I used to think, well, you know, my dad got to fight in the Second World War. My grandfather fought in the First World War. And I don't get to fight in anything. Guess what? I get to fight in something. Here I sit, 42 years old, and I got to fight like a dog to save my country. And the sad thing is, I have to save it from other Americans.
Well, that is a sad state of events, my friend. It certainly is.
But if I don't, I can't ask for the respect of my children. I can't demand the respect of my children. We have the fight of our lives on our hands. No guns, no bullets, only thoughts and brains and voices.
Yeah, well.
That's a. I mean, talk about Ambrose Bierce saying being a gringo in Mexico, now that's euthanasia. Now, this is a fight. Yeah. Hey, Jim, I got to roll on.
Thank you.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for emailing the piece, man.
You're quite welcome. I can tell you exactly, precisely why you can't look at Bush.
Okay.
If you can't see your target, you can't aim your weapon.
Yeah. I guess they were afraid of some sort of James Bond poison piccolo or something like that.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I know for a fact I could hide a weapon in one of those.
Yeah.
I at one point in time, I apprenticed myself to a gunsmith, and I learned quite a bit about how to make interesting weapons.
But, I mean, are they really convinced that somebody out there would trade their life for his?
You know, the thing is, you know, you have to understand, nobody who understands how this is all working would do that. You know, if we took him out.
I mean, we're the kumbaya crowd. We don't do that.
Well, some of us do.
You know, conservatives killed John Kennedy. Conservatives killed Bobby Kennedy. They killed Martin.
Well, you know, some of us would do it. There are people out there. I really think that if Bush were the president, they'd take him out. No doubt. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, the hatred out there of this man, and he knows it, and this is why he keeps himself wrapped around in security like he does, because he understands that the biggest threat to him is the American people. The reason that it hasn't happened, that nobody has made a real attempt on him, is because none of us are deluded into thinking he's actually in charge.
Well, that's a starter, you know, and I guess I'm just sort of out of touch with it, Ben, because you know I don't want any harm to come to the man. I want him to go back and retire to Crawford, and lead an utterly long, meaningless, and useless existence.
Well, I'd actually love to see him brought before the bar.
Well, that
and,
too.
You know, in plastic handcuffs and put in an orange jumpsuit after being convicted and sent to Leavenworth for the rest of his life.
That works for me too. For war crimes, for the laws that we set down as the United States following the Second World War at Nuremberg.
Well, he did swear to uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So I think we already have him on treason. Okay, and he swore that oath twice.
Yeah.
You know, once to be an officer in the Air National Guard, and another time to be President of the United States.
Yeah, but I had my fingers crossed.
Uh-huh. It doesn't sit too well with the folks at Leavenworth.
Well, it doesn't sit too, you know, I don't know. I don't know, Ben.
I want to see him legally and peacefully removed from office.
Bingo.
I really do.
Yes.
But you have to understand that he knows exactly how angry people are. He has gotten, you know, paranoid. You see, it's one thing to be a paranoid, but it's yet another thing, and even more horrible. It's the sort of hell he lives in daily, to be a paranoid who's actually sure they're out to get him.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's the difference between paranoia as mental illness and caution. You know, paranoia is the undue fear or the unreasonable fear that people are out to get you.
Right.
You know, we've got. Have you followed much of this story of this Abu Ali fellow, Ben?
Yes.
I mean, do you know what was alleged in federal
yes.
court?
I can't imagine anybody getting that close. I really can't. The man could have the best sniper rifle ever made. He could have himself a 50 caliber sniper rifle and. You know, and a telescopic sight and a hydraulic damper and the entire 9 yards of junk, and he'd never get close enough to pull off one shot.
No. No. I mean, this is not the Texas Book Depository, and we don't let presidents ride in open convertibles anymore.
No. You know, and I mean, look at Dick Cheney. Do you know what they built underneath the U.S. Naval Observatory?
Probably something out of Dr. Strangelove.
It has got a complete bunker system under it. That my sources tell me is connected by a tunnel with the rest of the tunnels that are under Washington.
And what a pity that this republic has come to this.
Well,
you know, this little guy, this former high school valedictorian, and let's remember this Abu Ali fellow before everybody starts hopping up and down the right wingers and saying, well, yeah, well, he's Muslim. This guy's an American, born in Houston, as American as you and me.
Arabs.
Yeah.
There are a lot of American Muslims.
And he went to study at the University of Medina. Now, I'm going to be honest, Ben. I'm suspect of studying in Saudi Arabia.
Me too.
Because I know that country is run by the Wahhabis, and I know who the Wahhabis are.
And if you're going to study in Medina, that's who you went to study with.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no doubt that the man's sympathies lied with Bin Laden. None whatsoever.
Or that the man's sympathies lie with the Arab world upon whom we are making war.
Exactly. He has joined those whom we are oppressing. And of course that is a capital sin in this country.
Well,
you
I mean, I go back to John Walker Lind. I mean, this kid was obviously I think his parents were misguided and so was he. But if you think about John Walker Lind, he wasn't fighting Americans.
No.
He was fighting Afghanis. He was fighting the people in Kashmir, the disputed province with India. He was fighting them. He never raised a finger against America, and he's doing, what, 30?
Yeah, and, well, I think his legal representation should be taken out and shot.
disbarred. Yeah,
I mean, he stipulated to everything.
And, you know, this... this Abu Ali guy shows up in American court, what, yesterday? 2 days before, or over the weekend, an argument was made. His family filed in court, in federal court, a writ of habeas corpus of some sort, because they knew that the young man was being held in Saudi Arabia and tortured there. And they filed a writ of habeas corpus in federal district court. And, you know, the government's response to that filing was to say, well, we would love to tell you what our defense to this petition for writ is, but our defense is classified. And the evidence supporting the defense is classified. So, Judge, you're just going to have to take our word for it.
Well, you know, that's very much the way the kangaroo court, you know, the citizens court, that convicted, you know, Sophie Scholl and so forth, the White Rose,
yeah,
was run. It was a secret court. It was a secret proceeding run by the Gestapo, and no testimony was permitted.
And the Court of Star Chamber in England.
Yes.
Utterly secret. And you think back to people like John Walker Lind. Does anybody, I mean, have we so thoroughly forgotten American history, Ben, that we forget the thousands, literally thousands of Americans who went and fought for the socialists in the Abraham Lincoln Brigade in the Spanish Civil War? Were they terrorists?
You know that's not taught in school.
No, it's not.
You know that there is very little about modern American history that is actually taught in school. So, you know, their goal is to make us into a nation that has got no concept of its own history or the mistakes it has made, so that they are free to force us to make them again.
Oh,
it's Winston Smith. It's the memory hole.
Yeah, it is. And I'm a big fan of Kurt Vonnegut.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mother Night.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought the other day when Hunter Thompson passed, I thought, you know, as bad as I feel about this, my God, I'm going to come apart when Kurt Vonnegut goes. But yeah, it is the memory hole. And what's the drug? Soma?
Mm-hmm. I haven't figured out what their replacement for that is, although it might just be television.
It is television. It's absolutely television. It's Desperate Housewives. It's NASCAR. I was fixed by a millionaire. That's exactly what it is. The fabulous life of Christina Aguilera. Disgusting. We got to do our top of the hour news, though, Ben.
Take care, sir.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. How do you like living in an Orwellian world? Is it fun? Is it, as long as you're not thinking about it, is it okay? I know I am thinking about it, and it's not okay. I keep thinking about my kids. This is not the America that I was promised, and it's damn sure not the America that I made a promise to give them. I love it. But that's me. All right. One more hour. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob from Cape.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 9 o'clock.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Now, for those of you who got to hear our top of the hour news, do you understand how it works now? They led. Now George Bush, you know, President Bonghit, is in Europe embarrassing the United States and telling European leaders, and God, I hope they knew what he meant when he said every option is still on the table. Sunshine, that includes nukes.
Every option's on the table. I might nuke Tehran tomorrow. Wouldn't that be funny?
Every option is on the table. But they didn't lead with that. Oh, no, 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 no. They led with
a young Arab man planned to kill the president.
That was their lead line. Pay attention. Pay attention to the man behind the curtain, sunshine. Liberal media, my left hind foot.
A young Arab man planned to kill the president.
Beat. 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 That's what the U.S. government says. But you know how it works? 90% of the people who heard that newscast didn't hear that's what the U.S. government says. All they heard was,
a young brown man planned to kill the president.
Now, let's back up a couple of days. The dateline on this story is Monday, February the 21st, 2005. It comes from page A26 of the Washington Post. Attorneys for the Justice Department appeared, and I apologize for the reading, really I do. Attorneys for the Justice Department appeared before a federal judge in Washington this month. See, this was so secret we don't even necessarily know when it happened. And asked him to dismiss a lawsuit over the detention of a U.S. citizen. Our government, yours and mine, the Justice Department, under the direction of a man who thinks that torture is not inclusive of waterboarding, electrical shock to genitals, leashes on necks, dragging people around, forced homosexual rape. None of that is torture because it doesn't involve organ failure or death. Yes, that's your Justice Department. Yes, that is Alberto de Torquemada, or Gonzalez, I'm sorry, whom many, many senators bowed down and confirmed. So the Justice Department shows up and they base their and what they wanted was they wanted Abu Ali's parents' lawsuit, which was probably a writ of habeas corpus, dismissed. They wanted the judge to say, go away, brown people! Your boy's a terrorist! And they based their request on secret evidence.
Well, Judge, we'd love to tell you what our evidence against this young man is, but it's a secret.
You know, if I promise not to tell... I'm sorry, Your Honor, you don't have the necessary security clearance for us to tell our secrets to you. Well, okay, so the evidence is secret. What about your legal argument? No, they're secret, too. I'm not kidding. Go read the story. They based their request to dismiss the petition for writ of habeas corpus not only on secret evidence, but on secret legal arguments. Now, just stop for a minute. Let that one just sort of bang around in your noggin for a little while. Remember, this guy, this Abu Ali, Ahmed Abu Ali, is an American citizen. The fact that his name is not Smith or Jones or Kincaid does not make him a second-class citizen. He is as American as any who has ever been born. He was born here. Our law says you're born here. By golly, you're an American. The government contends that the legal theory by which it would defend its behavior should be immune from debate in court. The government contends that the legal theory by which it would defend its behavior should be immune from debate in court. Let that one sink in, too.
We're going to keep him, and we're not going to let you argue about us keeping him, because you ain't got no business arguing about whether or not we're keeping some U.S. citizen in secret detention.
Did I wake up in a parallel universe? I mean, I don't have the math to understand it all, but I have read some stuff, you know, the Tao of Physics, the Dancing Wu Li Masters, string theory, and somewhere in all of that stuff that I don't fully understand, there is a contention that there's not just one universe, there's a bunch of them, like pages in a book. And there are days that I wonder if I have awakened in one of the other ones. Yeah, I know. I like the old Star Trek. You know, the parallel universe, Jim Kirk going through the transporter, gets split into two, and one of these is like the nasty Jim Kirk and the pacifist Jim Kirk, and one of them, you know what I'm talking about. This is that. Do not think for one blessed instance because you have the protection of an Anglo-Saxon or European name of some sort that this can't happen to you. It can. The government contends that the legal theory by which it would defend its behavior should be immune from debate in court. Nothing's immune from debate in court! Everything... No, it doesn't... Everything doesn't come out anymore. Ben's right. Down the memory hole, sunshine. Do you think it can't happen here because it hasn't happened here? If you do, you obviously never made it out of that logic class. This premise, this position, is alien to the history and premise of Anglo-American jurisprudence, which assumes that opposing lawyers will challenge one another's arguments. Here are the facts. Abu Ali was arrested in June 2003 in Saudi Arabia. We now know he was the valedictorian of his, what was it, the something Saudi high school in Virginia? He was studying at the University of Medina. And in their petition, the family claimed that the arrest took place at the behest of U.S. officials who then told the Saudis, having arrested him, told him to keep him locked up. Since June 2003. Quick, do the math. 8 months. How much can go on in some Saudi hellhole in 8 months? Mr. Ali says he was repeatedly whipped. When he appeared in court, he offered to bare his back and show the judge what had been done to him at the behest of you and me. Us, our government. You wonder why they didn't want to let him go? You know why they did let him go? Because they finally beat the confession out of him that they wanted. We have given up on everything that the noble, if somewhat misguided, founders of this country, and I say misguided because, you know, after all, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, slaveholders, you know. Every noble idea they have, this administration has peed on and thrown away. My God in heaven. Judge John D. Bates refused in December to dismiss the case, saying he needed more information before he could decide whether a U.S. court has jurisdiction. He needed more information, but the government, you, me, wouldn't give him the information that he needed to rule. Now, is this an activist judge? I think not. This is a judge acting on the very... This is the judge acting on the tenets that you pick up if you start law school one day and quit the next. The defense moved to make the government give up information based on secret evidence. You and me, the government, we said, uh-uh, not going to do it. And the government has proposed adding to the facts at Judge Bates' disposal by submitting secret evidence that Mr. Abu Ali's attorneys would have no opportunity to challenge. When I was growing up and they were telling us the horror tales of life in the Soviet Union, this was the kind of stuff they talked about, where you couldn't defend yourself against a charge, where you were guilty because the government said you were guilty. And we used to wring our hands and talk about those poor communists, those poor Russians having to live in that communist country. There's no justice there. They don't have a jury system. You're not innocent until proven guilty in Russia. We need to send them more Bibles. What do we do when it's us? What do we do when it's us? And the government came out again and said, well, the case can be dismissed on the basis of secret evidence. And based on what a Justice Department lawyer termed, this is a quote, legal argument that itself cannot be made public without disclosing the classified information that underlies it. Who gave that clown a law degree? Somewhere, that clown is admitted to a bar. And just like what Ben was talking about, George Bush taking the oath, this guy took an oath. And now, he's got his Bojangles shoes on, and he's dancing on that oath. But Judge Bates, Norman! Judge Bates is cautious and generally deferential to government concerns. That means he's one of their guys. But even Judge Bates, Norman! Judge Bates said, he was disturbed by the argument and asked the government whether they could identify even one case where the legal theory for dismissal is not known to the other side. And the government responded, you know, you and me. No, we don't. What's that got to do with it? We're fighting terrorism. In this case, the liberty of a U.S. citizen is at stake, the Post writes. It is not clear what role the U.S. government played in his arrest, nor that he is innocent. What is clear is that Mr. Abu Ali has been held for 20 months without being charged. Yeah, not 8 months. I'm not no better than to try to do math on the air. 20 months without being charged, and that, as Judge Bates wrote in December, his lawyers, quote, have presented some unrebutted evidence that his detention is at the behest and ongoing direction of United States officials. Now, this was printed, published on February the 21st, 2005, Monday. Suddenly, today, because a little bit of light got shown on the vampires, suddenly today, bang, without any warning, here's Mr. Ahmed Abu Ali suddenly appearing before a federal judge with stripes and scars on his back and what the federal government claims is a confession. Again, I address myself to ordinary, normal, decent people, not Bush voters. Is this okay? Because we know that if we asked a Bush voter about this, that, well, he's got to fight terrorism. Even if the feller wasn't a terrorist, he's still fighting terrorism. And, George is Jesus' best friend, and Jesus would want this man to be whipped and be put in chains because Jesus hates the Koran. One of these nights, I'm going to rip these headphones off and go running, screaming around the room in circles, just... And bang, there he is today. At what point do you draw a line? We know that... at what point is torture unacceptable? And if we're going to torture somebody, shouldn't we at least have the common decency to do it ourselves? Are you bothered by the cowardice that is just running rampant through this administration? George Bush is a coward, scared to death of his own shadow. Alberto Gonzalez, coward. Kinda Sleazy Rice, coward. They got rid of the one non-coward in the bunch, Colin Powell. And this cowardice runs all the way downhill to where? To the point that the United States won't even take care of its own torture because they want that plausible deniability. Well, we didn't torture him, the Saudis did. What if it turns out we told the Saudis to torture him? Because, you know, we say, I mean, remember, this isn't just the Saudis. This is George Bush's business partners.
Yeah, tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business.
This is the business partner of Pappy Bush. We have a Gulfstream 5 jet that flies to places like Jordan and, oddly enough, Syria. Syria, they were saying, you got to get out of Lebanon. Yeah, well, George, you get out of Iraq. We'll talk about Lebanon. You first. We render. You know, the same verb we use for what we do to isolate fats out of hogs at hog killing time. You render out the lard. We render human beings to Damascus, Syria, aboard a taxpayer-funded Gulfstream 5 jet. You think I'm just talking paranoia? I can't give you the guy's name right now because I don't have the story in front of me, but it's very well known. A Canadian citizen stopped in New York, taken off the plane, bang, onto the Gulfstream 5, bang, gone to Syria, tortured for months on end. I want you to put yourself in one of these people's shoes. This Canadian gentleman was tortured for being the cousin of a guy who knew somebody who thought about Al-Qaeda one day. I want you to put yourself in one of these guys' shoes. What? And conjure up the worst horror that you can imagine. What do you really hate to have happen to you? I didn't mean to, but I pulled a cabinet out into my head one day. It was whack, right in the noggin. And I yelled. And I did that to me. Think of any number of things that your government has been said to be capable of. Especially... this time I'm addressing everybody, especially the good right-wing Taliban Christians, the really staunchly heterosexual ones. When the ungreased broom handle comes out, boys, what will you say? Keep it out of you.
because we've done that to people to get information, photographs. What will you, a good American, say? What will you confess to keep from being tortured? And when the torture starts, what will you confess more of? And when they've got what they want in the way of a confession, will you dare complain that it was coerced out of you? I'm Ernest. No, I'm Bob. I want to know what the threshold is. And you can assume that you are innocent, because this is all so Kafka-esque. Go read Kafka's The Trial. What will you say to prevent torture? What would you say to prevent torture of someone you loved? What would you confess? Are you up for a few lashes on your back? How about being hanged by your wrists in metal handcuffs for days like they did Abu Ali? What about repeated immersion of your head into water until you were quite certain that they were finally going to drown you? We've done that too, you and me. What could you tolerate? How much could you tolerate? Again, I think back to, never mind. That is a most solemn question I ask. What would you tolerate? Could you tolerate? How much could you stand? And if it was some other country doing it to one of ours, what would you demand in retribution? What would you demand for revenge? Because we all know that even with the right-wing fundamentalists, all that vengeance is mine saith the Lord stuff goes right out the window when we got somebody we want to kill. Put yourself in those shoes. Walk in those shoes. Take those shoes off and feel the heat at the soles of your feet. What was that old Spanish trick, the bastinado? How much could you stand? How low can you go? How low will you let drug-addled coward in the White House take us? Where you begin writing your congressman, your senator. Every congressman, every senator, demanding that the constitutional process be begun that will remove this killer from the White House. Like I said, the one thing we're lacking now that we had in Richard Nixon's day was an honest Republican. Is there one honest Republican in the majority in Congress? One. I mean, this is turning into Greek tragedy stuff. Is there one honest man, one honest woman? Tell him that he must cease and desist. Name to Dick Cheney. Is there? Or is all hope gone for America? Is the promise made me by my parents dead? And more importantly, is the promise that I and so many others like me have made to our children equally dead? Tough question, and one that you do not answer lightly. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis said today that this winter has been one of the worst on record for fire fatalities. He said officers are in the field today attempting to determine the cause of four fatal fires just this weekend alone. Lewis also said a lot of these fires recently were intentionally set, some to cover up murder.
Out of the 28 fatalities we've had, we've already ruled that 7 of these are arson fires, meaning they've used fire as a murder weapon. So we have homicide cases with arson. This is another number that's alarming not only the fire service, but the law enforcement realm also, with the number of murders that we're having with these fires, and we've got to get a handle on it.
State Fire Marshal Sterling Lewis, last year, West Virginia had 47 fire fatalities. In just the first 2 months of this year, the state has already seen 31 fire deaths. What was set to be a public hearing between backers and opponents of a controversial housing development along the New River Gorge will have to wait. Land Resource Companies of Atlanta wants to build a 2,200-home development along a 10-mile stretch of the gorge between Thurman and Caymore. It was scheduled to meet with the Fayette County Planning Commission this afternoon to seek a zoning change that would allow construction in the area, but this morning the company withdrew its application, saying it would reconfigure it to more precisely reflect the scope and nature of the project. Company officials said they would resubmit the application, but did not say when. And it worked once for Governor Joe Manchin. Now he'll try again. Manchin plans to speak to a joint session of the legislature later this week and give them a PowerPoint presentation on his legislative agenda. The governor used a PowerPoint to speak with members of the House and Senate last month on the first day of the special session. That's the news. Here's the forecast. Tonight, increasing cloudiness after a beautiful afternoon. There is a slight chance of showers later on this evening, and then a chance of snow mixing with the showers late tonight, low 32. For Wednesday, cloudy with a high near 40, and Thursday, a chance of snow in the afternoon with a high near 34. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
This is America on the Road. Are you satisfied with your car or truck? Can you buy the same brand again? We'll be right back with results of a new customer retention study, so stay tuned.
A Driving Today Minute. Auto buyers leave millions of dollars on the table each year out of sheer ignorance about auto loans. Before you start shopping for a car, you should first check your credit rating. It plays an important role in determining the interest rate. Correct any errors and identify open lines of credit you can close before you go looking for a car loan. Most people know they can get a car loan from the dealer's finance department, but that rate is often marked up to provide a dealer a profit. So do some research by surfing the net where you can find several sources of low-rate car loans. Then you can arrive at the dealership with financing in hand. By becoming pre-approved, you can quickly determine whether the financing you're offered in the showroom is a better deal than the one you've already secured. This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners like Auto Buyers Advice, acarplace.com, and more.
This is Mike Hansen. In a study of repeat auto buyers, J.D. Powell and Associates found that Toyota, Lexus, and Chevrolet are the top three automotive brands that retain most of their owners when it's time to buy a new car or truck. In the 2004 customer retention study, Power reported that 60% of Toyota owners buy another Toyota and that 59% of Lexus owners buy another Lexus. So why does Toyota do so well in the study? Because it offers its owners a wide range of vehicles to move up to, and the brand is able to attract new buyers.
This is Jack Nierad. Chevrolet finished third in the ranking, retaining 58% of owners, and in fourth place was Korean auto manufacturer Hyundai, which retained 57% of its owners. Now for the ugly news. The three worst brands, they're Oldsmobile, 5%, Isuzu, 7%, and Mazda, retaining only 23%. Why do owners defect from a brand? If the vehicle had durability problems, high maintenance costs, or the customer had poor service from the new car dealer. How do brands attract new customers? With rebates and incentives, better styling, more cargo capacity, high resale value, and better fuel economy.
So when it comes time to buy your next car or truck, you're going to buy the same or buy something else? We'll have more next time on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I am so ready for spring. I'm already thinking about new equipment. When will my local dealer replace snowblowers with string trimmers?
Probably already has. Manufacturers typically introduce new products in the fall, and they start arriving in dealer showrooms in early winter. So take advantage. Go check out the newest technology and designs.
Good idea. I've had my eye on this new lawnmower.
Well, before you blindly follow that eye, make sure it's a match for your lawn's size and contour. For lawns less than a third of an acre, a walk-behind mower can get the job done in about an hour. If you've got more than a half acre, though, a riding lawnmower or lawn tractor is the way to go. And when you go to the dealership, don't be afraid to ask questions.
How about color?
I always like green myself.
I bet you do, Bill.
Matches my lawn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, head on.
Yeah, welcome back. 24 minutes before 10 o'clock, we're fast approaching the end of tonight's show. And a reminder, no show tomorrow night. It'll be something from the best of head on. Right? Right. Taylor's grinning and not. Yeah, right. Let's go to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We've got Wayne. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good.
I think, though, you know, that's probably going to be a hard choice. Best of.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Well,
all that radio-free Beckley?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, see, I forgot already. That's what I wanted to... When you answered, I was going to ask, was this radio-free Beckley?
It is, every night.
Yes, but, see, you guys confused me. How come I didn't get that beep thing this time?
You know, that's the magic of what goes on the other side of this board, and I don't have the first clue.
Well, Taylor's... It's getting better, man, because I don't hear the beep, you know?
Yeah.
And see, that's what threw me off. That's why I didn't lead in with Radio Free Beckley.
Sorry about that.
But, you know, that's what live radio is all about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's you know, never a dull moment.
Okay. Hey, ask me about my jobs fair. How'd that
Yeah. Go? Well, I've been waiting to hear from you so I could let you do the crowing.
Well, man, I mean, you know, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And, well... I'm very happy.
How many
people? I'm very happy. I mean, it demonstrates something to me that, you know, people want jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and they want good-paying jobs with benefits.
And
you know?
Crazy stuff like pensions.
Yeah, real crazy stuff.
Just to backtrack a little bit and explain to those who may be coming in on the middle of this, huge construction project starting up next year down in Greenbrier County, right?
Exactly.
Western Greenbrier Cogeneration Plant going to take care of an environmental nightmare in the process.
Yes, in Raynell, West Virginia.
And as a consequence of that, y'all had a jobs fair on this Saturday past.
Yes, sir. The 19th.
And how many people showed up?
People, I've heard from 700 to 1,400, and I'm picking over 1,000 is what I'm saying.
How many, just out of curiosity, how many jobs does it look like there will be out of the construction of this project?
The construction? You're talking 300 to 400 jobs.
That's nice.
At various lengths, yes,
yep.
But good-paying jobs.
Right.
You know, well-paying jobs, jobs that pay health insurance and pensions. You know, jobs that every American should have.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Yeah, as opposed to being a manufacturing specialist in a fast food joint.
Right. With no benefits.
With no benefits,
right.
No pension, no retirement, no health care, no
exactly
nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a very exciting thing. I mean, we talked to now, this was people coming and talking to union representatives,
mm-hmm.
you know, of all the building trades. So many skilled people that we talked to. I mean, it was impressive. It was truly impressive. And it shows a need, and it shows a mindset that people want, you know, to make a decent living.
Well, you know, there
and you know what? It was also, too, I want you to know this. These people have never made any bones or tried to hide anything or all that. This is going to be a union project.
Right.
And if you're interested in this, maybe you should talk to the union people.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's offered here is what everybody should be working towards.
Right.
And that's what economic development is.
And these cheap excuses about, we don't want that because those union jobs, they're too good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
how can you say that?
Well, I can't. I won't. I think there's got to be some, you know, hardcore drugs involved to make you think that way. But that there's such a thing as a job that's too good for an American.
Well, exactly, and that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. And, you know, at the same time, I want all these people to realize that there are people on the other side that are trying to take away the opportunity that was presented to people.
You're kidding.
Well, people that want to take away prevailing wage.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, there are people out there who are beating down senators and delegates' doors every day
to get, yes,
to make sure that working people don't earn decent wages.
There is a fight coming up in Beckley over this very issue.
Really?
And it's, they have already, every year this thing, it's cheap labor conservative.
Right.
Republican.
Well, yeah, and
that's what they want.
And it's so typical. It's like, well, I am a so-and-so, and I make thus-and-so money, and by God, the rest of you don't deserve it.
Exactly. And you're a bricklayer, and you make that. That's not right.
Yeah, you're too damn dumb to make 20 bucks an hour.
That's what they're telling you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're trying.
God, I despise these people, Wayne.
You're too dumb to provide for your family. You're too dumb to have health insurance.
You don't deserve a good wage.
That's what they're telling people. And, you know, everything economic development always, well, we want this economic development because we want good-paying jobs with health care and pensions and benefits and that. And so now we're having an economic development project coming up in Beckley that the first thing they want to do is take the jobs that do pay a living wage, do have health insurance, and do have pensions away.
Yeah.
They want to eliminate prevailing wage.
Right.
And I, for one, am going to
move heaven and
fight
hell
as hard as I possibly can to make sure that does not happen.
Well, there will be a political aspect to this, Wayne. You understand that.
Oh, yes, there will be.
And I think.
And I hope the politicians and the representatives and the senators understand that. You know, what was demonstrated at this jobs fair this weekend is the political thing. People, you know, nobody is against anybody making money. But you do not need to make excessive amounts of money at my expense. And that's what these people want. And that's what we are going to try to stop. We,
you know,
the people,
that's
not
like,
you asked to do.
That's like saying I'm for prevailing wage, I just think it's too high.
That's exactly right. Driver, would you open the door for me, please? I have to leave now.
You're right.
Yeah.
I have to get back to a reception. We're having Larks of Amok canapes tonight.
There's a politician that made that exact statement.
Oh, I know. And
well, it was the mayor.
Yeah.
I'm not voting for him. I can't. I'm going to try to find somebody to run against him because.
Yeah.
That's not democratic thinking. That's
no.
Trying to be Republican light, which is what you are, so go be it.
Right. And well, look, I mean, somehow or another, I guess it's taken as unfair that people, you know, the decent people, in other words, the liberals, the people who care about their fellow man, their fellow woman, who believe that kids have a right to a decent education in a fully funded school, you know, there's a list of what we believe in. You know, not bombing other countries into the Stone Age. Yeah, sure, that's part of it, too.
Yeah, that's a real big part with me, that not, you know. I mean, I don't.
But yet, somehow.
If you come in and attack me and hurt me that bad, I'm going to try to bomb you that way. But you're just not allowed to pick a country and go do that to them. You know them people we bombed over in Iraq?
Yeah.
They didn't do nothing to us.
No.
They were complying with what we asked them to do. We had inspectors in there.
Yes, we did.
Right. Cowboy pulled him out.
Well, and see, just to return
did
to
you what, hear, he is he not?
He's insane.
He's embarrassing.
I mean, we're talking straight jacket crazy.
I know what it means
crazy.
When you get mad at everybody's upset about Iraq. I know what it means. I know you're mad at me. Oh, golly, Josh. Hey, give me a break.
I know. I know. And you know, this business of we're going to getting ready to attack Iran is just, that's just crazy talk, but all options are on the table.
Yeah. In other words, we're going to do what, well, we already have.
Yeah.
How can people back? This country, did we attack this country on false, everything was, well, I guess we've been down this road.
Yeah, but it bears, it. Look, it's a well-traveled road, and it needs going down a lot. But the fact of the matter is, as Democrats, as liberal Democrats, Wayne.
Yes.
We absolutely have the right to serve notice that we have clout, and we will damned well use that clout. And we will use it for in a positive manner for those who stand up for working West Virginians and decent wages and benefits, and use it in its negative form against people who won't.
Exactly right.
It's time to stand up and be counted. It is time to separate the wheat from the chaff. Time to separate the goats from the sheep.
I could not agree more.
And
I could not agree more.
If we've got people wandering around and. I've been trying to follow it. I can't. We talked about the blacklist bill, Wayne. Well, I mean, you know, we talked about it on the show. It was going to the Senate. You remember it was what, 81-17 in the House, the blacklist bill.
Okay.
And it was going to the Senate. Has it gone to the Senate? Has it been read in the Senate? You know, because I want some senators to understand that it's time to stand up and be counted. You either stand up with working West Virginians.
Well, exactly. I mean, just like, you know, I was driving or coming back home, and I heard some of your show. I was in Beckley, and you were talking about Bush got a $250 million PR budget.
Yeah. I about fell out of my chair when I read that. That's
PR budget.
Yeah, that's $250 million of our money to Ketchum Communications. $97 million of it went to Ketchum Communications, and that's the same outfit that bought off Armstrong Williams and these other newspaper columnists. God knows what they bought from Jimmy Jeff Gannyguck.
Seems like if he could relate to the public on his own, it would save us a hell of a lot of money. Doesn't it?
Yeah, there you go overstating the obvious.
Yeah, I know, but, well, you know, you've got to say something when you're on this television.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the guy gets to walk out into the Rose Garden and you know, 200 reporters will hang on every word he tries to say.
Oh, God.
And he needs $250 million for a PR budget. Yeah, oh, my aching back. Oh, my daughters. Oh, my ducats.
Yeah, he does. Well, actually, they spend a lot more money on PR than $250 million, and they're very, very good at it. You know, they control all media. I mean, that's where we got to where we are.
Yeah.
But now it's becoming silly, see. Now it's time for people to snap out of it and realize this is a very bad soap opera.
Yeah.
That has to be put in check.
Yeah, this is a really nasty little nightmare, and will somebody please wake us up?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just, I'm afraid the wake-up call is going to be easy.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, did you see?
Like I was listening to, what did he go over to Europe for, to make Russia and China more mad at us? You know, we owe China a lot of money.
Yeah, we've hung some paper.
Yeah, whole bunches. I forget how many hundreds of billions we owe them.
Yeah, and he's over there trying to strong arm, who is it, to keep him from selling weapons.
Russia.
Yeah, Russia, to keep them from selling weapons to China.
Well, Russia's going to lift their sanctions.
Right.
Or that's what they're talking about. He also told Vladimir that he should be a better Democrat. That's a real catch-22 oxymoron or whatever,
yep,
isn't
right,
it?
Right in the bucket of lie, Wayne. Right in the bucket of lie.
God, yeah.
Screaming
right,
around.
You ought to be a little more Democratic there.
Yeah, this.
Let us show you some of these die bulb machines, and we'll show you how it works.
We'll show you how Democratic you can be, by
right.
God. Oh, yeah.
Well, but, you know, even the Russians are smarter. I mean, you know, hell, all they did was use bullets. Now, that's what he's switching to now, I guess.
Well, you know, but he's going to meet with Putin, and God only knows what happens, because you don't meet with a Russian head of state without you're going to sit down and pound down a little Stoli. He'll be, you know, he'll be off the wagon again.
Okay.
You know, and once George gets good and liquored up, God only knows what kind of an agreement we'll reach.
Well, who? Yeah, I don't know. It can't be a pretty sight.
I wouldn't, you know. And far be it from me, you know, I've had my fun, you know, college, whatever. I would not sit down over a bottle of liquor with George Bush for all the rice in China, because the guy just. Can you imagine that guy? We see him sober. Can you imagine him loaded?
The whole thing is so phony, you know.
It makes your head hurt, doesn't it?
Well, it's something out of science fiction, a movie. What was,
Dr. Strangelove?
No, that movie, the black and white, where the kids ended up going back to this real proper world. Everything was black and white. And when they brought good thoughts to people, it turned colors. What was that movie?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I do, and I can't touch it. But, yeah, that's pretty
good.
Okay,
it's kind of like the perfect commercials.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Now, what's he doing over there? I don't know. Irritating the life out of the people of Mainz, Germany. You know, do not look at the president. We're getting that again.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. And the European heads of state got to meet with him, and they each get to ask him one question, and they've been told which question they're going to ask.
Where did you get these rules?
They're not mine!
I mean, but where did you see that?
Washington Post.
I mean, did these people receive instructions?
Yes!
You know, before opening? Or
the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, the Prime Minister of Ireland, the Prime Minister of Italy, the Prime... Yeah.
Right. Oh, hey, Pleasantville.
Yeah, Pleasantville, that's right. Yeah,
see,
sure.
See, my wife, see, you told her the other night we got her on the radio, so now she whispered.
I knew it, she whispered, see? Sure. Yeah, that's okay, we'll get
that's
her.
That's all right, yeah.
We'll get her again. Yeah, exactly that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was talking about with PR. I mean, Pleasantville costs a lot of money.
Yeah, it does.
And that's what they're trying to operate. And, you know, well, the majority of people sure fell for it on November the 2nd.
But, you know,
supposedly.
Jim had some great stats for us. 84% of the people in France disapprove of George Bush and his go-kill-it-will policy.
Yes.
70-something percent in Germany, 60-something percent in England, 53% of Americans. Now,
okay.
And then there's that 20% hardcore right-wing evangelical going to go in the rapture, race to the rapture crowd. Not going to do anything about them.
No.
So that means there's a chunk of about 20% of people who might wake up.
Well, I'm telling you, I told you shortly after the election, you know, in a year here, you're not going to find anybody that voted for it.
Right, and what's really interesting, over at Truthout, an editorial by David Swanson, I've got it here in front of me, 31 states and D.C. take action on minimum wage. You know, while we're sitting here watching our House Majority Whip drive that tongue-splitting bill through the House.
I feel a lot, I sleep better at night.
Yeah. Well, you know...
Knowing that Rick Staton's out there.
There are 31 states that have passed, because they know that George Bush is never going to do it, an increase in their minimum wage.
Right.
So, curiously, we're not one of them.
Isn't
but,
that curious?
Yeah, but here's the odd thing.
In fact, they get as curiouser and curiouser.
There are states that George Bush carried in the election that have passed minimum wage laws. That tells you he's not quite as rock solid with that 20 or 30%.
That's exactly. That also
like
proves the Da Vinci Code thing.
Yeah, the Da Vinci Code for Democrats. Great article.
Exactly.
There are articles. There are issues we can win on,
yes,
and we don't have to start a third party. We have to, you know, give the Democrats a little kick in the seat of the pants from time to time. But there, if we give people progressive issues that really matter to working people.
Right,
you know, and you know they could. They
well,
could,
it, Bob, they could, it's all if we become Democrats again.
Yeah,
and that's what we have to do. We don't. You're right. There doesn't have to be a third party. You know. You know how much money has been spent on the name recognition of that one,
mm-hmm.
the Democrat one? We got to keep it. We just got to fix it.
Well,
we got to go back to our roots.
But there are, I mean, there's something at work here, and that is people want change, and people, you know, what happens to families matters. And the fact of the matter remains, Wayne, they can't put another queer marriage amendment on the ballot in West Virginia. We've already got one, thank you very much, and so does most of the country now.
And what is that?
Well, I mean, that's what brought the mouth-breathing faithful out to vote for George. They, you know, they came out and voted against the queers, and while they were at it, they voted for George.
Yes.
They can't do that again. It's over.
That's true.
So they're going to have to gin up some other garbage issue, and I don't know what it is right now, unless maybe, you know, the weirdos are out there coming after Shrek 2 now.
Oh, they are?
Oh, yeah.
He gay, too?
Yep.
Yeah, just, well, how about Shrek 1? Was he all right, or is that...
Well, no, Pinocchio wasn't in that wearing a thong. I kid you not.
Oh, my God, what people...
You know, we got a federal government that's filed papers to try to overturn the decision made by the people of Oregon to die with dignity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. See, I really like that Oregon law. I think that should be the norm.
Well, I've got it for, well, not tomorrow night, but the night after, Thursday. I've got a couple of beautiful pieces of states' rights stuff that just stands in stark contrast to each other.
Well, that's what them Republicans is all about, you know, state rights.
Yeah, until the state...
Until they get power, and then...
Yeah, then the
they
states
want to take them all away.
No, you know, Jesus wants you to die in abject misery and pain. That's why we've got to stop this assisted suicide law in Oregon.
What do you think? Do you think there's a radio-free Austin?
I don't know. Well, I mean, yeah, kind of there is. I mean, Jim Hightower's in Austin.
Does he broadcast out of there?
I'm sure somebody carries
him.
I mean, yeah, that's his home.
He's that's my man.
But I mean, I've gotten to the point where I'm going to start being very, very frank with people. If you don't want to stand up for working class, working family issues, which includes not sending the working class's children off to die in foreign lands in foreign wars for bogus reasons, I got no use for you.
Well, that's the number one thing, because the big bogus reason there is so that you can make more money because you want to control the oil.
Yeah.
And that's what that's all about.
Well, we're out of time, Wayne, but I appreciate it.
Okay, buddy.
and again, congratulations on the job fair. That was work well done.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do that. Listen, Matt, without Greenbrier Cogeneration and the people in Raynell and Quinwood and Rupert, the people that own that, these are very progressive thinking. They're amazing people. It's a pleasure to work with them.
Well, I hope it just continues to grow.
And that's what it should. I mean, you know, people should look. This is a very good example for the entire state. People working together, business and labor working together, and trying to create a win-win situation. Now, that's what we should all be going for.
I couldn't agree more. Thanks so much, Wayne.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Have a great night. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for your help tonight. Thanks for making this the best job in America. As far as I'm concerned. The show, of course, tonight produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Skye, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, you heard, didn't you? They're working for you. Also brought to you by our very, very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. Also, remember, drop by whiterosesociety.org. That's where the show is archived by Ben Birch. We chatted with him a little bit this evening. Catch some part that you missed anytime, 24/7. And read everything on the site. It'll do you good.